Welcome to the Grow Great podcast. This is Leadership Challenges, episode number 2. My name is Randy Cantrell. Welcome inside the Yellow Studio. Coming to you from Dallas-Fort Worth, Texas. I'm glad that you're here. You can find the show notes and all the other great information over at the website growgreat.com. Today it's about trust. If you've not yet listened to the first episode of Leadership Challenges, and Leadership Challenges is really just a narrowed down sub-series of the Grow Great podcast, go do that first. That first episode is on safety and the importance of establishing that before you can grow into a more effective, impactful leader. Today's subject is trust. Now, safety is first because if our people don't feel safe with us, then we're never going to get them to trust us. The short command, trust me, that won't work. It's not just a trite sales cliche. It's just baloney. I mean, it screams, whatever you do, don't trust me. And we've all had people tell us, even in casual conversation, you know, trust me. And immediately it makes the hair on the back of my neck go up. Since I don't have hair on the top of my head, it's got to be the hair on the back of my neck. Leadership is about relationships. This isn't about styles of leadership, so I don't want you to confuse these. Those vary just as much as personalities. And it doesn't matter if you roll like General Patton or you roll like Tony Dungy. Your leadership hinges on being able to establish healthy relationships. There is a burden of leadership that requires you to show people the way. Forging the relationship is first your responsibility. Yes, yes, I know. All parties have got to comply. It takes two to tango and all that. But somebody has to make the first move. That would be you. And Houston, we have our problem. Well, we have our first problem. Too often, leaders complain that, well, so-and-so, they're not putting in the effort. And they'll complain how some team member isn't cooperative enough, some team member's not reliable enough, or something else. If I had a buck for every time a leader or a business owner complained about an employee who wasn't proactive enough, well, I would not be doing this podcast. I would be off lounging at a beach somewhere full time. I wish they'd show more initiative, says the CEO. Well, duh. Yeah, we want people to handle things, including relationships at work. We want people to be proactive. We want them to be less reactive. Unfortunately, when you hang around the place long enough, you realize the top leader is often not demonstrating the proactive approach to building the relationship to begin with. This was driven home for me not long ago when a top leader complained to me about one employee who was too passive for her taste. She wanted her team to be comprised of assertive, you know, go for broke type of people. This one particular person was a more reserved and introverted kind of a personality, and she was struggling to deal with this. And within minutes in the same conversation, she was complaining about another employee who had overstepped her bounds. This was a mid-level manager who had inserted himself in a meeting that the CEO thought was just not proper. It was just inappropriate. I'd heard these kinds of conflicting stories before from this particular leader, and she's not alone. She was hard-charging, demanding, had lots of things going for her, and like all of us, she'd simply gotten a little bit blindsided with her frustrations. Well, I knew how she felt. I knew how she felt because every CEO, including yours truly, we suffer from it every now and again. My job was to help her through her frustrations to find solutions that would help her grow as a leader and help her grow her people as well. She wasn't paying close enough attention to these contrasting frustrations that she had just expressed. And so I just kind of held up a verbal mirror. And I restated these frustrations back to her. And yeah, she got it. She leaned back, she smiled, and she said, "Can't win for losing, huh?" She was referring to how some of her people likely felt. And I just said, what do you think? I think I probably need to own it myself first, she said. Great, eureka, breakthrough. Now, sadly, not enough leaders are as open-minded to accept responsibility to show their people the way. This leader had the strength, a humility, a courage to accept the responsibility to establish trust with people by first learning to trust them. And over time, we discussed how our view of people can impact our culture and our organization's performance. You know, a CEO who suspects that all employees are stealing time and they're stealing materials, they're stealing inventory, that CEO is going to behave very differently than a CEO who is convinced that people want to get up in the morning, come to work, and do a good job. So how we view the world and the people who occupy our space in the world, that impacts many, many things for us. Proverbs 18:24 says, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. Well, ditto for trust. If you want people to trust you, you've got to first show yourself trustworthy, and you've got to first trust them. Now, a CEO may say, well, that's stupid. People have to earn trust. Okay, I get that. Now, again, we've got to look at worldviews here. You can approach life from a no-trust zone first or from a trust zone first. Yeah, it's the difference between innocent until proven guilty or guilty until proven innocent. You decide. It's your leadership. You decide how you're going to roll. I've heard tons of seemingly logical reasons offered by top leaders who talk about the negatives or the downsides of first trusting people. And sometimes I'll hear words like blindly trusting. Well, I'm not just going to blindly trust people. You're asking me to just blindly trust. It's funny how they like to insert that hope, that blindly part. And it indicates it's a weakness and it's stupidity to trust people. And when I press a leader to give me specifics of what they think those downsides may be, very often they're not able to list anything that really is too terribly bad. And in fact, rarely, I won't say never because I just can't remember, but I don't remember hearing a leader name an outcome that couldn't be fixed, that couldn't be repaired after the fact. Now, flip that exercise on its head and reverse it. What's the downside of not trusting somebody? What's the downside of not having trust in the workplace? Well, how much time have you got? How much time have you got for us to investigate all of the negative possibilities of no trust? I mean, on and on and on we can go. Those typically far outweigh the negatives of trust. Yes, absolutely, trust can and sometimes is betrayed. Husbands and wives, they betray each other too. Okay, so does that mean we shouldn't trust our spouse? Well, how healthy would our marriages be if we all behaved like that? Same thing for relationships at work. The leader's challenge is to first demonstrate trust in order to gain or facilitate trust. Show people the way. This is what leadership is about. Behave your way to what you want. Yeah. I get it. Far easier said than done, but true nonetheless. And you know what? It really isn't that hard until... It's not that hard to trust people until they disappoint us. And that disappointment can come when the person doesn't do something we think they should have done, when they do something we don't think they should have done, or whenever we disagree or we just don't fully approve of whatever choice, whatever behavior they made. I mean, in short, when people do something that we wouldn't have done ourselves, or when people don't do it the way we'd have done it, then our trust is tested. And sometimes it's beyond tested. I mean, sometimes it's fractured. Well, shoot, sometimes it's broken completely. And you and I both know some CEOs, some leaders have a really tough time forgiving people and letting people out of the doghouse. How does that make anything better? Do you trust your wife? You trust your husband? Sure you do. Sure you do. Unless she's given you some reason not to. Has your wife ever disappointed you by doing something that you thought was stupid or something that you thought, you know, I would have never done that? Sure, probably. Is she still in your doghouse because of it? Well, boy, I'd hope not. I mean, if so, your marriage is broken. And if I were to ask your wife the same questions about you, you know what? She'd likely give me the exact same answers that you just gave. You have disappointed her with your acts of stupidity, but she still trusts you. Hopefully she still loves you. We often have less harsh standards at home than at work. Well, at least with some things. One misstep by a team member and we may forever deem them untrustworthy. That's it. That's it. One shot. You're done. Well, does it apply to us too as leaders? Have you ever betrayed any trust of anybody on your team ever? You don't ever want forgiveness for that? If you have successfully raised teenagers, you know how futile and stupid that is. Our kids learn trustworthiness because we train them, we trust them, and we help them learn from their mistakes. Did you catch it? It's the sum total of it all. Guess what? It works the same way at work. As leaders, we owe it to our employees to train them, to trust them, and to help them learn from their mistakes. And over time, we can build stronger trust. Or we can handle it in more toxic ways, and we can damage our people and our relationships with our people, and we can make them less effective. Oh, well, how does that help us succeed as leaders? How does that help our organization or our business grow? Make your people safe, train them, trust them, help them learn from their mistakes, and then rinse and repeat, and keep rinsing, and keep repeating. Keep the faith. My name is Randy Cantrell. The website is growgreat.com.